CM Mayo. Welcome to cmmayo.podomatic.com. Last June 11th, 2011, I gave a talk on writing historical fiction at the annual American Independent Writers Association conference held at the Writers Center in Bethesda, Maryland, outside Washington, D.C. It was great fun and an honor to sit on a panel with such fine writers as David Taylor, who was the moderator, Barbara Astman, author of the novel The Other Anna, and Natalie Wexler, author of A More Obedient Wife. My own point of reference was my novel, based on the true story, The Last Prince of the Mexican Empire, which came out in paperback last spring from Unbridled Books, as well as some of my other books, both fiction and nonfiction. I began by introducing what I call the arc of writerly action. Imagine the following points arrayed, let's say, as a half circle. Number one, writing the beginning of the first draft. Number two, writing the middle of the first draft. Number three, writing to the end of the first draft. Number four, inviting feedback. Number five, revising, looping around points four and five multiple times. In other words, you invite feedback and you revise, and you invite feedback and you revise. Number six is selling. So that would mean submitting to agents and publishers. Number seven, moving through the process of production, including further revisions and copy editing. Number eight, marketing. That means you might do readings, lectures, book signings. You might go to some book festivals. You might appear at book clubs, do interviews, blog about your book, all that sort of thing. Number nine is interacting with your readers. And number 10, integrating the resulting changes in your personal and professional life. At each stage, the writer risks bogging down. Some, dreaming for years of their novel, never get the traction to even start, while others might race through the first several stages. Then, after multiple rejections from agents, they stop. Some manage to publish their book, but wincing from a first sharp review, they dive deep into hiding. The two main reasons writers get stuck, it seems to me, are first, they just don't care that much, and or second, anxiety about rejection and criticism overwhelms their ability to take action. So for many writers, the middle of the first draft, that's just where things start getting tricky, is the most likely place to bog down. Others stop dead at the first critical reactions to their manuscript. I'm no good. I don't have talent. This is a crazy waste of time, and so on. I've heard so many writers muttering this sort of thing to themselves, and it is precisely what keeps them stuck in the muck. The emotional exhaustion, or shall I say, anxiety fast, despair, of accumulating agents' and editors' rejections is another cause for freeze-up. I would venture that there are more novels abandoned in drawers and boxes than are ever published. Point seven in the arc. Moving through the production process is especially challenging for writers aiming to self-publish. There are 1,011 choices, which printer? Print on demand, Smashwords, iUniverse, Lulu, Ex Libris, eBook, Kindle, Nook, and or PDF, encrypted PDF? What price? What type of cover? How to design it? How to distribute it? Should you hire a fulfillment company? Should you rent space in a warehouse? How do you handle taxes? Do I need to file a doing business as a DBA? What are ISBNs? Should I get a barcode? Etc. And so you also have 1,000 opportunities to procrastinate. Point eight, the marketing phase. can tangle down even the most intrepid writers, especially women, so, quote, nice girl, careful to not be, quote, self-promoter, and or both sexes fall prey to this one, assuming the airy attitude, I am the artist, I do not dirty my hands in the commercial world. As I always say, book promotion is not self-promotion. Book promotion is book promotion. And when you have a real publisher, that publisher has employees, and they are making their living, and not a very good one probably, in working for your book. And it is not in any way helpful to any of them for you to play tortoise. Also, even though they work for your book, no one knows or cares about your book as much as you do. So it behooves you to get out there and do something for it. Or, pray tell, why did you bother to write it? Go open a donut shop and see if you can sell even one of the hot-out-of-the-oven chocolatissimo yummies by keeping them lid down in the closet. Oh, but anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. It never leaves us poor human beings. Point 9. Interacting with readers. Here, I am learning. I try to keep up with email, but I admit I've fallen behind. I'm working on it. Finally, point 10. Integrating the changes resulting from publishing your book into your personal and professional life. For some, this is a minor thing. But for others, it's more daunting than climbing Mount Everest. I think it's like anything else. Graduating from college, getting married, buying a house, getting a job, having a baby, taking a trip. Whether in a small way or a large way, publishing your book will change you. How you see yourself, how others see you, and your responsibilities and opportunities. And this takes a little or a lot of adjustment. Should that come as any surprise? Alas, for some writers, it does. But that's life, yes? All about learning. Of course, on this panel about historical fiction, we talked a lot about research. I'll leave that subject for another podcast. Thanks for listening. Listen to more of my podcasts at cmmayo.podomatic.com. For more about The Last Prince of the Mexican Empire, as well as my other books, articles, translations, writing workshops, and more, I invite you to visit my website, www.cmmayo.com.